Okay, Erev Tov, gentlemen. We continue the 70th Perek. And I've got, again, sheets for us because it'll be a lot easier with the sheets. Matter of fact, I'm tempted to just switch books at this point. Whoa, I don't know.
Switch books?
We'll see. Also,
I get a new book?
We'll see. Because we're almost done with this first section. Your book's got the whole thing, but yeah. 76 chapters is the first chelik of the Rambam. So we'll see. We're on chapter 70.
Section?
I'm sorry?
Assume finishing a section? Or what?
Nope. Wow. Got to do the whole thing. Okay. Anyway.
Getting a seam out of the Rambam is very difficult.
How many years is that?
We've been discussing, the four causes, if you remember, the four causes to something, and the discussion with the Matukas, whatever those guys are called, and the philosophers. And we've come to see that the Rambam is, we will see today specifically, the Rambam is more comfortable referring to Hashem as the prime mover, and much better than the definition of the material cause, as we said yesterday. This chapter will teach us that Hashem, he has complete control over everything, yet with complete disconnection from what exists in creation. And therefore, he's going to be called the mover of this. Okay. Now, obviously, Hashem is a material cause of all that exists, but rather he likes to use the word moves it, and that gives the rise to the matter. Okay, so that's what we're going to see over in this chapter as he gets into the definition of the word rochev, which means to ride, and that will then move into merkava, which we're going to learn a very interesting thing that we've many of us have mistakenly understood the translation of Merkava as a chariot is not a correct biblical translation, as we shall see. What?
Tank.
Well, that's contemporary, yes. Yeah. Okay.
Thanks a lot.
So, Perek Ayin is called, we're on page 308. It's Hashem is Rochev al Ha'olam. Hashem rides on the world. So, section Aleph, HaRochev here is going to be Sholeit, which is to dominate, moving or controlling. Hamikra miyaches rechiva laKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah relates rechiva, riding to Hashem, in the pasuk. Here's the famous pasuk in Zosar Bracha. Rochev shamayim, he who rides the heavens, bezracha, is at your assistance. Hashem is referred to as one who rides the heavens. So what does it mean he rides the heavens? So again, that could be interpret as corporeality, if you're riding something on top of things. So, or the pasuk is Rochev ba'aravos. Hashem rides aravos. We'll have to defer that definition.
It's maybe.
No, it's one of the seven spheres of existence, and the top one is called aravos. So it's a metaphysical sphere of reality. So that will need explanation. But either way, he's riding. So, Eichev Shaliyachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Munak, so how can we associate such a term to Hashem, Shubal Tzil Gashmi, which is a physical description? Okay. Uvechena Rambam Motse Shnei Muvani Mishutafi Bunaset. The Rambam gives us two definitions of the word Rochev. The simple one, number one, is Rechivas Adam Al Behema, a person riding on an animal. But the second one that's intertwined with that is Shlita, is domination or control. Why? Because think about it, a good equestrian team. The rider dominates that which he is riding on. Okay. And that's, for example, it says, Yarkiveu al-bamasei haaretz. He caused him to ride on the high places of the earth, which means, Sheperusho hu shakodesh baruch hu yashlit es yisrael al-eretz yisrael. That Hashem allows the Jews to dominate over Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because it's the highest of all lands. Okay, so we have two meanings over here. We've got riding and we have dominating. And really, isn't that what a good equestrian rider does? Or a good, what do you call, race, horse race,
jockey.
The jockey, what's he do? He's telling the horse which way to go. Now, in footnote one, it says very nice, where you see that these words in Hebrew is such a rich language. So he in the second line, the end of the second line, I think I have it underlined for you there. He says, Se'ein shrirus b'loshna kodesh. There's no shrirus, arbitrariness, in the Hebrew language, like other language. B'yeser ha'safos, in other languages, muvanim yishutafim. There are common understandings, but as suyos b'lishum kesh b'nem. Could have one word, has two meanings, there's no connection with the words at all. B'loshna kodesh, but in the holy tongue, it's not so. In our case, it's clear. A person cannot ride a horse unless he controls it. Okay? For example, you can't ride a wild bucking bronco. Well, they try to, but not for very long. Right? Because they kick them off. So therefore, if you ride an animal, that can only be if you dominate. So therefore, we use the expression Hashem rides on what? The heavens. Rides on the Aravos. Means he dominates them. Okay? And we'll see the multiple meanings over there. So let's look on the... the next paragraph. We're still on the same page. Next paragraph. So now, Kol Rechiva Shiyuchusa B'Mikra L'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Anytime we use the term Rechiva to associate with Hashem, it has to be the second meaning. It's understood the second definition. L'chein peris, therefore it means, Rochev Shamayim Besrech. When it says Hashem who rides the heavens, it means Hashem Moshel Al HaShamayim. He rules over the heavens. Peris Rochev Baravos, which means he rides on the Aravos. Hu Hashem Moshel Al HaGalgal HaOlion HaMakiv HaZakol. Hashem rules, dominates over the highest orbital sphere, metaphysical reality, that surrounds everything. Amnam Aravos, Aravos, who are a ki hashviyek, the rabbis call it the seventh firmament. But Oda Galgal Yon, Beshitas Aristo, Aristotle says there's 10 of those. We say there's 7. Okay, we're not going to get bogged down in the details. If you look at footnote 2 at the bottom, it's a Gemara. Reish Lakish says there's 7 Rakim. That's what they're called. Vilon, Rakia, Shchakim, Zvul, Ma'on, Machon, Aravos. Aravos is the top one. So to speak, it's the one that's closest, term we're borrowing, to Hashem. It's the first firmament that Hashem rides on, so to speak. Okay, so now, let's just finish up that paragraph. But the Rambam tries to fit them together by 7, 10, etc. Okay, that's not important. Next side of the page. Ashnios bari bria. So now we're going to discuss the distinction between the creator and the creation. Let's pay attention to what the rabbis are saying. Aravos. What is Aravos? This pasuk Aravos. The pasuk, the Gemara says, Ram v'nisa shochein olav. That's what a rav is like a contraction of. The lofty one rests upon it. Interesting. Amru shochein olav. It says Hashem rests upon it. V'lo shochein bo. But not rest in it. Hashem's not in the seventh firmament. He's upon it. We can't identify Hashem with his creation. Hadimui, the expression of Rochev Shamayim, riding the heavens, Chashuv Le'ein Erech. It's very important beyond a measuring. It's describing the gulf between the rider and what it rides. Between the creator and what he creates, which means, and this is why this is the specific definition, the way we're wording Hashem. Harochev, what is the job of the rider? Molich es habehemek yitzono. He leads the animal as he wishes, but still, he's not attached to it. You don't say that the rider is a part, is connected to the horse. Okay. So therefore, kach Hashem, same thing with Hashem. He's mecholel. He generates as kol tenuas hayakum, all the movements of existence. The eino hakoach ha'elyon shela hayakum. He is not the supernal power of existence. Elohim Elohim, he's beyond it. He's on top of it. It's not that Hashem is intertwined with the existence and is part of existence, which would breed to pantheism. No, he's on top of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who Mishkan HaYakum, Hashem is the repository for all existence, but Ve'ena Yakum Mishkano, but the existence is not the repository for Hashem, so to speak. As we have, why is Hashem called the Makom? He's the Makom of the world. The world's not the Makom for him. Hashem does not need the world, but rather the world is constantly controlled by Hashem. Okay, and that's what he says in footnote 3. This goes against Spinoza's idea of pantheism. So what we're saying is, it's not that you have pantheism. It says the world is the manifestation of divinity, and it is divinity. Notice, whatever you think God is the world. That's pantheism, because and it's not such a crazy mistake. Because you see, the world works in a divine fashion.
Right.
Yeah, but let's not say that that's God. So if you say he dwells in that firmament, now you're saying there's a godly reality to the world. When you say God rests upon it, that means he's like the rider of the horse, that he's in total control of the horse, but he is not the horse.
That's, and it sounds like there's something that's not God.
No, because then we got the other terms that we work with as well. Okay, right. But you cannot say that God is that reality. He controls that reality.
How we can say God sits on something that's not God.
So he's not sitting on it. It means he rules it. He rules it. We're using the analogy of sitting, but he doesn't sit.
No, he
doesn't sit. He rules.
He dominates.
That's it. He moves. He moves it.
Okay.
There's nothing physical about God. How does he move it? With his will.
Right.
He moves it with his will. Okay. Now, that Tafkid Erekim, what's the purpose of these world, these firmaments? Chazal Gilulanu, the Chazal revealed to us, Manim Tzibachol Echad Mishiv Rekim. What do you find in all these seven firmaments? Lamashal, Rekia Shechakim. What's in the Rekia Shechakim? Shebo, in it, is Rechaim Omedes. There's a grinder. V'tokhenas Mon L'tzadikim. It grinds Mon for the Tzadikim. Harekia is, or that's called Machon. Shebo Otso Shelek V'Otsos Borod. It's got storehouses of snow, storehouses of hail, the alias talam roim, and the bad dews, the alias agolam, whatever things, the chadora shel sofa. Okay, not important. Now, the one we really want to know is Arkia Aravos. That's the one. That's because Hashem is Rochev Aravos. Shabo, what's in that? Tzedek, righteousness, mishpat, justice, tzedakah, whatever, same word. Ginzei chaim, what do you call it? Storehouses of life? Ginzei shalom, storehouses of peace. Ginzei bracha, storehouses of blessing. Nishmasen shel tzadikim, the souls of tzadikim. Feruchos u'neshamos shasidim libaros, and the ruach and the neshama of creatures that are yet to be created. V'tal shasei kadosh baruch hu l'hachis bo meisim, and the dew that Hashem will use to resurrect the dead. Now, what we're saying with this word shebo, shebo means that it is. It first of all, okay, it means like the word via, and it's contained in it. Via this, these things happen. Now, obviously, he says in the next paragraph, "Kemuvan, it's understood she'en rakia ploni sheishba osher shalvos bird." There's no rakia that has snow and hail. Verakia amoni, or a rakia sheshba osos neshama, so that's got stores houses of souls. Chazal hiskavnu v'nisu, say, why did Chazal use this language? L'mdemi sheshor shehakoychais shalak shalak v'bar. If you want to know where's the root of snow, where's the root of hail, that's found in the rakia that's called machon. Umakor hachayim, and the root of life, is found in the rekia that's called Aravos. Hakadosh Baruch Hu mishtamesh berekim Hashem. Hashem makes use of different firmaments kidei lahanigas hametzios, to guide reality. So that's what it means. He's riding on Aravos. He's guiding that firmament, and that firmament is the metaphysical source of those things that we see down here. And that is really, to a great degree, that is what the Aristotelians felt. That you have this prime source, and he uses lower level sources till it comes to the world. In section 2, you're going to see where Rambam parts ways with the philosophers. But that's the idea of what's in Aravos.
Those things don't have free will.
Correct. They don't have free will at all. So again, just like you would ride a horse, and you get the horse to a certain destination, Hashem dominates these powerful forces to do the things that he wants, and they're the source of those powers, even though Hashem is the source of that, but that's the way Hashem is able to constrict reality from the infinite reality to some kind of finite reality. So the original source of the snow, it's still metaphysical source, and Hashem rides on that. And that's a source, a metaphysical source of creation, and therefore God is, so to speak, not the efficient cause per se, the proximate cause, but he is the ultimate cause. Okay? So that's what he's mentioning over here. Now, since we've discussed this idea of the souls, the Rambam wants to take a little side cut, which is a very interesting side cut. Now, if you looked carefully, he's going to emphasize it again in point Dalet. He says, Yesh lasim lev, you have to pay attention. Kipetir aravos, when we discuss aravos, it says two things. Chazal make a distinction between nishmason shel tzadikim. He says, theirs are the souls of tzadikim. Between ruchos uneshamos, ruachs, and souls that will be created. So what's he saying over here? First of all, why does he say one is a soul and one is ruach and neshama? What's going on over here? So he explains it very nicely. Haneshama hanichnasas lagufa tinok. When a baby gets the neshama, hu koach ha'achonam bilvad, it is the power that is inherent for it to accomplish something. The baby comes in tabula rasa. It's got nothing going for him. But he's got a neshama that is a power that can now develop spiritual things. Okay? V'haneshama b'shas ha'petira, and the neshama when you die, next page, flip it back, humashu huzvo, what it actually accomplished. Okay? So you've got a neshama that, the mashal I like to give is an attachment to an email. The email's the body, and the attachment is the neshama. All right? So let's imagine Hashem sends an email to you. Okay, now what you got to do is Hashem gives you X amount of years. You got to respond to the email. Now the email is just an email. Okay, emails eventually go into the junk thing. So Hashem sends you an email. He says, I want to hear from you in 120 years. 120 years. It's like imagine an email where the guy sends you the email and he can take it back without you sending it. Okay, now what's your job to do? Is to make an attachment to that email. Now, since it is an email, it has the ability to put an attachment on. Right? You can't put an attachment onto this and throw it and go somewhere. But an email document, you very easily, it has the capability, hit a couple buttons, you create an attachment, you put things into the attachment, and now it goes back. So the neshama is the attachment, the blank attachment, or the ability to make an attachment before you're born. And now when you die, let's see what's attached to it. Now that is the developed neshama, so to speak. V'ilu b'shas ha'petira, but when you die, ain't lel neshama, you only got a neshama. Why? Ki ha'ruach v'neshama hizachtu, because at this point, the ruach and the neshama joined together. So let's try to explain this. So I don't know how you cannot say now that the Rambam didn't know Kabbalah.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Had to.
Look what he's talking about over here. He's ruach and neshamas. What's he saying? So let's try to understand. You've got the nefesh.
Mm-hmm.
The nefesh is the living body, the metaphysical reality that makes a body live. Okay, now that body is very gashmius. That's all it is. And when you die, it goes back to the ground. That's it. You have an neshama, which is mamish, has the potential of using pure intellect and to learn so much more about God. Remember, the Rambam is of the opinion that the key to immortality, according to the Rambam, mm-hmm. is the developed active intellect that you have via the neshama. You come to this world, you know nothing about Hashem, nothing at all. The Olam Haba is feeling that connection to Hashem. Now, you only do that by using your mind. Six constant mitzvahs, love Hashem, understand there is Hashem, all these things, develop that intellect. Now, obviously, doing mitzvahs and all that is all part of that. Right? So the degree that you develop the intellect and understand what Hashem is in every aspect, that is your immortality. The body's not. Now, what's the ruach? The ruach is what's in between the nefesh and the neshama. Right. That's where the battle is fought. Where the human being, okay, the human being, so to speak, the ruach is the gatekeeper.
Right.
So now you have a situation. The ruach has to decide, do I want to be involved with the nefesh or and just, you know, enjoy physical things? Or do I want to focus to the neshama and start filling up the attachment? Remember, there's a few things here. You can write the body of the email, and then there's the attachment. The body can be all kinds of narishkeit, but it ain't coming going back. The only thing's going back is the attachment. So the ruach has to decide which direction are we going. And that's where the battle is fought. Now, if the nefesh wins totally, then what happens is, so the ruach's function is how to gatekeep between the nefesh and the neshama. So it's a temporary function. You don't need the ruach once you're in Olam Haba. The ruach is the decider. It's the bocher. Am I going to decide to after the neshama? Going to decide after the goof. So that's a very important thing to have that ruach while you are alive. And that's why the text said, it talks about the ruchos and the neshamos that are going to be created are in this rakia. Because you're going to have a ruach and neshama. But it also keeps the people who have died, the neshamos that have been developed are in this place. What happened to the ruach?
All those attachments.
You don't need the ruach anymore. You don't need it anymore because it already has created the attachments and chose to put something into the attachment and not. So that's what he means, that the ruach now becomes part of the neshama because the decisions behind to develop a closer understanding of Hashem becomes bound up with that knowledge of being closer to Hashem. Okay, beautiful explanation. So therefore, the ruach is trying to give the neshama all the collective knowledge that it can accumulate during its lifetime, and that is the source of the closeness to Hashem. Okay. Now, and that's basically explained in that footnote with all that. And it's basically a Zohar. If you look at the end of 4, before 5 on the bottom, last paragraph, he says this parallels the Zohar and Parshas Vayechi. The Zohar says a person is born with one tselem, and through his life he acquires an additional tselem according to his actions. And when he dies, that tselem that is given birth to Hatzelam Hamula, the one that's Selam Hakonui Olim Biachad. So the Selam that you had when you were born and developed, that becomes goes up to Shemayim. So where did Rambam get all this stuff from? He didn't get it from Aristotle.
Obviously,
get that from Aristotle. I don't know why people said Rambam didn't know any couple. I just don't understand it. Anyway, so that's
never read more than one.
And now he's going to say something he said way in the beginning. Very important idea. Hey. Rambam ends the section like this. Ulechein, therefore, simlev, pay attention. These wondrous true concepts. And what are we talking about? Seven firmaments. The firmaments are the source of that reality. And we're talking about neshamas and all this stuff. When you read that Gemara without our explanation, you think this is crazy. This is science fiction. It's crazy stuff. You think there's hail in the firmament up there. There's souls in the firmament up there. There's justice.
They're grinding man up there.
What's going on? So he says, but look at the truth. The philosophers were able to understand. And they were the same on the same page. Mufuzar be midrashim. They're in different midrashim all over the place are what the philosophers are saying. A wise person looks, knows proper Aristotelian philosophy. And he really understands that the Midrashim are not to be understood on a simple level, but they're codes. Mm-hmm. We can't recognize their righteousness. Okay? Biyun Rishon, you can't see the righteousness of the Midrashim first when you look at it. And what's your reaction? You make jokes about it. Say, what a crazy... You tell me somewhere between Alpha Centauri and this is snow? Is hail? Mishagas.
Grinding.
Vasibel calls there. Why is it? Shadira Bechidos. Why are they talking riddles? Machmas Amkus Inyon. Because of the depths of it, beyond what people can understand. So in 5, I'll just speak it out. He says, the great rationalist, the Rambam, says, wouldn't you say a rationalist would poke fun at all these chazal? But no, he's saying these are correct. Right? And you should know, a lot of tzaddikim in the times of the Gaonim felt that these chazal, that they're called Agadata, they really weren't such important things to know. Thumbs on that to say, you don't rely on Agadata, we don't learn from this. They constantly, you don't rely on it, this and that. There are a lot, even the Ramban, who also was a great Kabbalist, he also claimed when he was discussing an argument with an apostate, and the apostate would say, it says in the Midrashim, there's snow in the grave. Ramban says, it's just Bubba Meisters. You don't have to worry about it. It's not the real deal over there. But the Rambam is revealing a very big secret, not just the value of that gutta. But he sees real Torah philosophy on this. But it's enclosed in ways that you will make fun of it. And that was intentionally to conceal the deep ideas over here. That only special people could reveal these ideas. You're going to go and show this to the masses? They're going to start talking about these things. They're not going to know what they're talking about. So is Bedavka done in a way that if you really are a master of the Agadata, then you will be able to find the deep philosophy that's behind it and the deep workings of the world. And that's the idea of Hashem rides on this. All these forces. So that's why the Rambam prefers to call the Hashem the mover. But guess what? What's he moving? He's ultimately moving the material that 7 steps down the line gets moved into its existence. Mm. That's where he's being, like, he didn't want to say Hashem is the material cause, because we're going to think he's the wood. But no, he's the material cause because he moves all the metaphysical realities that create those material causes. And that's why he's riding on it, but not riding in it. Okay, Sunday we'll get to the Merkava. So we'll keep the third and final sheet will be the Merkava.
Not the chariot,
guys.